This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. It's difficult at this point to imagine something the coronavirus pandemic isn't affecting. There's been a lot of discussion in the last couple of weeks about how businesses are adapting to this sudden dramatic change, but not all businesses can adapt. And some of the most vulnerable among them are the small ones. Today, we'll talk about how Indiana's small businesses and the people who own them are doing. We're broadcasting live today, so if you have questions or comments, let us know on Facebook or Twitter at All In Indiana. You can also leave us a voicemail. Call us at 866-476-3881. Just give your name, where you're calling from, and a quick question or comment, and we'll do our best to get it into the conversation. Again, that's 866-476-3881. Joining me on the phone now is Barbara Quant, Indiana's State Director for the National Federation of Independent Business. Barbara, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Matt, for having me on the program.
So what is the National Federation of Independent Business?
NFIB is the largest organization representing small business in the country. We're nonprofit, nonpartisan. And in Indiana, we have nearly 12,000 members.
And we'll get into a lot of details during the show today, and we'll hear some stories from some small business owners. But before we do that, can you give us a general sense for just how bad this has been so far for small business owners?
Whoa, Matt. No words. Unprecedented, unparalleled, crisis proportions. No words are adequate to describe what's happening to the small businesses of this country right now.
And from where you sit, I mean, have any of them been prepared for some disaster like this financially?
I doubt many, if any, businesses have been prepared for this kind of a financial disaster. And since this has been evolving, they've been small business owners have been promised that small businesses would see help within a matter of a few days. And that just is not happening.
Well, we're going to listen now to the first of a few conversations that we're going to share during the show today with small business owners around the state. Barbara, this is me talking to Jason Smith. He's the owner of M&M Car Care in Merrillville. So what do you do at M&M Car Care?
We're a full-service automotive repair facility.
And how many employees have you got?
Well, right now I have two repair shops. We have a total of 11 employees between the two shops.
How has business been affected so far since this started?
Beginning in the 1st of March, we started off pretty decent. And then once everything came out around our area, it completely went south, kind of like someone flipped the switch. And we've lost about 75 to 80% of our business going forward. And March is usually one of the best months of the year, but we've lost a tremendous amount of business over this last month.
Now, you knowing the business that you're in, though, do you anticipate that once things begin to return to normal, that maybe the months ahead might look a little bit more like March?
I do believe so. There are some people that are not affected by this, and then there are some people that are heavily affected by this. And what we're trying to do is we're actually trying to help give back to those that are still working the front lines, and we are doing some promotional things with like free oil changes for first responders and also medical staff, just to try to give back to the community during this time. And I do believe that once this kind of gets moving a little bit further down the road where we are able to get it back out of the house and consumer confidence starts to grow a little bit, that we will get back to normal. It'll be fine.
What other changes have you had to make, if any, to get through this?
Well, we have cut our employee. I still have my employees working for us. We have not laid anybody off, but it is extremely draining us financially by allowing them to stay. We're a service based business, so you know we are staying open, but we have to be here for the customer if they need us. One of the things that I am doing is we're refinancing our home. We're trying to refinance our home to capitalize the business because we don't know the extent of the help that we're going to be able to get from the SBA and the federal government. And basically, you know, we need to do what we need to do in order to try to keep our business going because we don't want to lose anybody.
Have you talked to your bank or other groups about that financial help?
I have talked to three different banks, and those banks they had promised us to be able to start working on an application for us right away. Then after Friday, they ended up reverting us back to our original bank, which I only went to these other banks because they were claiming that they could help us out faster. A lot of banks are doing their own clients first, which I understand. So I have been in contact with my bank. He has all the documentation and everything that he needs, but he did say that, you know, this is going to be an extremely, you know, slower process just based on the overwhelming need that there is out there for everything. There have been some banks that I understand that have had their own online portal set up where you can go on and basically like a spreadsheet where you can figure everything out, what you could potentially qualify for, and those sites are crashing. So there's a lot of strain out there in the small business industry, that's for sure.
Are you worried about the long-term impact this is going to have on M&M Car Care?
I'm not really worried about the long-term impact. I'm worried about the short-term impact. I believe that I believe personally that the economy is going to bounce back extremely quick from this once this everything gets taken care of, once we move on from this. I know that this is not something that's going to be fixed right away. I don't believe that it, from a standpoint of my specific type of business, that it's going to affect us negatively, possibly, you know, within a year or two. But I'm more worried about right now with just trying to keep the capital to keep the business moving and everything and pay my employees.
Jason Smith is owner of M&M Car Care in Merrillville. Thank you so much, Jason. Good luck.
Thank you.
Barbara, Jason sounds like a business owner who's committed to his employees. He's refinancing his home in order to keep everything going. How does Jason's situation compare to that of a lot of others in Indiana?
Jason, his can-do attitude is what you hear from a lot of small businesses because these folks are the risk takers of the country. I mean, they risk everything to go into business, and you know, they max out their credit cards, put the house on the line, and to start a business and to keep it going. And he's caring about his employees, and he's trying to keep them all employed, and he's paying his health insurance. I think as so many right now, the problem is right now. And they aren't getting the help that they need. The most important thing for our members is that the funding intended for small business actually gets to the small businesses, and it's not right now.
Other than, say, the type of business that they're in, and maybe some other factors that might work in as variables with the coronavirus pandemic, what are some things that business owners can even do to prepare for something like this? I mean, I'm thinking of some simple things like a big rainy day fund or things like that. I mean, would that even help in something like this?
I don't know. Yes, of course, having some kind of cash backlog that will help your cash flow, it would be great. And but the depth of this and from the standpoint of actually, in many cases, actually shutting off the business, it becomes critical for these folks to get some kind of cash moving into the business to keep them alive so they can survive until it does get better. And Jason looks like he's creative and flexible, and that is so typical of the small business owners of this state and across the country.
But, I mean, how feasible is something like that, a seemingly simple solution like a big rainy day fund for some businesses? Mm. I mean, some ride the line between profitable and not profitable so often that it just becomes the norm. How easy is it for some of these businesses to even put away any money?
It's not. It frankly is not. There are some businesses that that you know are struggling in any economy, and they're just trying to make it, trying to make a living for their families and keep others employed at the same time. And some of those folks are not going to make it. And if they don't get some kind of short term relief, as has been promised, they won't open it up again.
Are there common concerns that you're hearing from small business owners or confusion? Are there certain things that just keep coming up?
Well, they go online where they're directed to go. On Friday, the Paycheck Protection Plan loan program was kicked off, but then they found that banks weren't accepting. Some banks were not accepting the loans. The terms were different. Guidance hadn't been gotten, hadn't been received by the banks. And it's not the bank's fault. It's if we ever needed example of the fact that government doesn't do business very well, this is certainly it.
But is there any forgiveness there, perhaps? I mean, they've had to scramble just like everyone else has had to scramble.
Yes.
And bureaucracy is, you know, as you've alluded to, can sometimes be a very slow moving process.
Oh, absolutely. We understand that. And I think small business owners understand it, but they need some kind of reassurance that help really is on the way.
So after a quick break, we're going to have more on how small businesses in Indiana are adapting and fighting through the effects of the coronavirus pandemic. We're on the phone with Barbara Quant, Indiana State Director for the National Federation of Independent Businesses. And we will be back with her and more in just 90 seconds. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. Today, we're talking about how small businesses in Indiana and their business owners across the state are dealing with the dramatic changes caused by the coronavirus pandemic. As always, we would love your questions and comments on the topic. We're on Facebook and Twitter at All In Indiana, or you can leave us a voicemail, including your first name and where you're calling from. Do that at 866-476-3881. Again, 866-476-3881. We'd love to hear your voice in today's conversation as well. We're speaking with Barbara Quant. She's Indiana State Director for the National Federation of Independent Business. And we're also hearing from some small business owners across the state. Barbara, do we know how many small businesses have already had to shut down because of this or have had to shut down most of their operations?
We don't have any sense of that yet. We know that many were ordered to stop business, and Jason that you just had on the show is lucky that, well, lucky, he may not see himself as lucky, but he's been allowed to still be open. So there are those that are closed now, and I guess it will depend on how long this crisis goes on, how many of those will be able to start back up again.
What was the survey you conducted recently with small business owners? What did it ask?
Well, what we've been doing is NFIB has been tracking small business economic trends for many decades. And once a month, we come out with our report. And what we've done in the last, our research foundation has in the last 3 weeks, we have been doing weekly reports on what is happening with COVID-19 and how it's affecting small business owners. And each week it's become more and more dire. And the one we did, and this is now several days old and is probably, I hate to say it, worse than this, but 92% of all small business owners are negatively impacted by COVID-19. And at that time, half of the small businesses will not last more than 2 months without help. And 15% will say they'll last less than 1 month, and 35% said they won't survive too. So I've spoken personally with a lot of small business owners, and there are those that are within a week or so of throwing in the towel. So I'm hopeful and very hopeful that the plan that was designed and will be implemented quickly, so that these people can get real relief within a short period of time.
I mean, you're dealing with something that's changing by the day pretty dramatically in a lot of cases. So it's got to be hard to just know the basic facts about all the small businesses around the state. Has it been hard to get good data on this?
I think nationally we're, because we've been doing it for as long as we have, that we definitely have a sense of what's happening with small businesses. And of course, anecdotally, we hear from them all the time. So it's not improving at this point. So the more we can do, the quicker, the better. I think just being able to do what was passed, I mean, the intent was certainly there to provide a relief for small business owners. But those that are in charge of this need to know that it's not getting to the small business owners. In fact, I don't know a single one that's received some help yet.
You got some sobering information from the survey that you put out. I mean, did anything from the survey surprise you? Does anything surprise you anymore?
No. It doesn't at this point because of the fact that we're talking to them every day and they're calling. And I will tell you, we've been trying to put everything. There's so much misinformation out there. That's part of the problem. They're hearing on the news, they're hearing in social media, and they really don't know what really is appropriate for them. And so what we've been doing as part of our research is we have been putting together webinars. We have on our website, we have a section that's devoted strictly to COVID-19. So it would be NFI, if they want to go to this, it's nfib.com. And it's COVID-19 is right there on that page. And there are webinars you can see that have a lot of great information and will help small business owners decide, what's real here and what is not going to work for my company.
We got a comment from Cindy on Facebook who says, I own Cornerstone Bread Company, a bread bakery that sells mainly to restaurants. The first week of the shutdown, we had a little business for carryout, but it's been very low since then. For the days we do bake, we have one employee come in at a time, do their job, and then leave. So far, we're managing, but only making enough to pay for ingredients and labor. Rent payments seem impossibly large at this time. Barbara, has there been any word from the landlords about relief coming or forgiveness about rent payments? For some of these businesses, they're not even open.
Yeah, but I'm sure those stories are there. I'm sure that there are so many people that are pitching in, trying to do what they can to make the best of a terrible situation and help both their customers and their employees. I know it. I'm painting a pretty gloomy report right here, but the help should be on the way. Let's just get it to them sooner rather than later, because some won't make it. If you're only paying for your ingredients and the rent's due, what do you do?
I'm thinking of some big national examples like Cheesecake Factory, who said, we're just not going to pay rent for, I think it was the month of April or the month of March. I wouldn't think that smaller independent businesses in Indiana would have that kind of clout, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, I would say you're probably right. And you can say it doesn't mean it's gonna happen. But I suspect there are a lot of landlords that are trying to work with their small business owner tenants, because they are hopeful too that this will end, and when it ends, that they'll be back. But everybody's kind of making a sacrifice right now.
Let's listen now to a conversation that I had with another small business owner. This is me talking with Stephen Cull. He's the owner of Value Vending in Rushville. So tell us about Value Vending. What does your business do?
Value Vending, we started in 1996. Basically, we service vending machines all over central Indiana. We're a small company, just me and my wife. And as our kids got older, our kids started out with us. We've had three children, but one of them, our oldest daughter, Claire, came into the company last year, and she's also there with us, serving, you know, pops and drinks and snacks to people. And then Claire has started an offshoot company called Bar Maids, where she does corporate events, weddings, and she's like basically a professional bartender in the evenings, taking care of, you know, large events. So it kind of makes us unique in the fact we're in two different entities, but I was always proud that she took the entrepreneur way and went on to start her own business too.
Well, it's okay. So who works? We know who works for your company. It's a family business, but
yes.
What is everyone doing for your company
right now? Or yeah. What do we do normally?
Well, normally under normal circumstances. What is your role and everyone else's?
Under normal situations, I'm the owner. We all run as far as me and Claire are the main ones running the business as far as the physical side of it. My wife is the bookkeeper. Now, we are fortunate during these troubling times that my wife is a Catholic school teacher too. So she is doing everything now at home. So, but she's our bookkeeper. She's the one who manages the company on that end. Me and Claire do the day-to-day running to places and servicing the accounts.
So what has business been like over these last few weeks since this started?
It's been rough. It started out, you know, just a little, every day is a new challenge trying to get into places. Our biggest challenge is not a whole lot of consistency out there. So we're able to get into, per se, we go through all the protocol, gloves, mask, whatever we need to service, per se, a hospital. But then we'll have a seed company out there that says we can't even come in and even look at our machines or even collect our money. So we've basically, in the last 2 weeks, have been cut in half. And we're expecting next week to be the worst, because it just keeps slowly kind of strangling us. We're still running, but we're just not running near as much, because we just our accounts are down, because I think people are scared, you know, staying home, and we have a lot of walkthrough traffic in places too. But we're all across the board. We're in machine shops, we're in you know, hospitals, nursing homes. Our nursing homes are completely shut down, which is understandable. So we go all kinds of different business. Any kind of business that's out there, you know, over the last 20 some years I've probably been in, and it, you know, we always like to keep it diverse, which, thank goodness, that's at least keeping some money flowing.
Would you say you had enough time to prepare for this?
Oh no, I wouldn't have thought it would ever get like this. I would have never thought, and I'm a big independent guy, you know, so I would have never thought we couldn't do business. In the fact that I think we could social distance in the companies, and we could still, I would have expected it to hurt us, but to say I would have thought this was coming, I wouldn't have seen this coming like this in a million years.
How worried are you about the impact that it's going to have on your business long term?
Long term, we're extremely worried. We're thank goodness for the NFIB. They've been helping us kind of filter through things that can help us. We're not a company that has ever, you know, wanted help or needed help. You know, I always say that even when 08 came around and we went through some other hard times, a lot of people in my companies were like, well, you know, you could file for unemployment. And I was like, when you're independent, you can't do that. Now they've opened that up now for us, but we're not even looking at that as an option, just because we've made it through everything. So we're going to make it through this. We just got to figure out how.
So I want to know more about your daughter's business. How has that been affected?
Yeah, she's one who's been 100% pretty much 100% shut down. She had, this was going to be her, not really first year, but you know, she kind of got it going as a fledgling business last year, and she had 40 weddings. As of last count, I know it was 40 weddings booked, probably some other corporate events. She also bartends, like I said, big events. So she was really cut off even more than us. All she really does now is we both help. I'm a volunteer at a charitable organization, our local Knights of Columbus, and she kind of runs the bar there. So since we can't do any on the bar side, we both come in here, and that's where I'm at right now, as a matter of fact. And on Friday nights and Monday nights, we cook for our local community or whatever for people to come in, and that's what's kind of helping pay the bills here for this club or whatever, because we do a lot of charitable stuff through here. So that's really the only thing she has going now, because everything in her business is just shut down. But on her, in her behalf, and I always feel like I've taught her right, she went out and interviewed at our local Kroger in our town, and she's stocking shelves there at night because she's a single mom on top of all this. And she knows that she has to do things to take care of her bills. And she's trying to help us out on the business side, knowing that it's going to be hard for us to keep things flowing. So I've been proud of her. She's out there working her little butt off.
Boy, it sounds like it. Have you contacted your bank or the Small Business Administration about getting financial help?
Yes, we have. We've been very fortunate. Our local bank, Citizen State Bank in Rushville, has been great. I'm in the process of restructuring some of my stuff, and they're going to let me have kind of a grace period on, say, like my mortgage and things like that. Because in our end, basically everything was being paid through our company. You know, our mortgage, our house. My wife took care of groceries and things like that through her job, but the majority of everything that gets paid in our personal life and in our company life is paid through the value vending side. So yeah, we've been very fortunate. They're helping us, and we're trying to, my wife's dealing with a webinar right now through NFIB to help go through the loan side, maybe trying to get a low interest loan or something. So we're going to see what happens. We've already applied for the grant. We did that on Monday. Now we'll see. They were telling us a 3-day turnaround. We'll see. I have never seen anything in the government ever work in 3 days. So we'll see. But right now we're just kind of at a standstill on waiting to see if everything kind of works, comes together for us.
Stephen Cull is owner of Value Vending in Rushville. Stephen, best of luck to you.
Thank you very much. And we appreciate your time, sir.
And we're back live with Barbara Quant, Indiana State Director for the National Federation of Independent Business, NFIB. So, Barbara, how common are businesses like this that are entirely run by family members? And then what kinds of challenges does that add to an already difficult situation?
Well, this is very, very typical of the small business owners and families, businesses across the country. And what it does show a problem when the family relies on, the entire family relies on certain income. They are fortunate that the mom in the family is able to continue to teach, and that brings some money in. But I know, listening to him, he so typifies this can-do attitude. He's going to do whatever it takes to survive this, and he's concerned about his daughter and her position, her business. So, but very typical. Very typical, Matt.
He said, thank goodness for the NFIB. What kinds of financial support can small business owners get right now?
Well, there are the loans that are supposed to be coming, and hopefully they will. And if they can get this aligned correctly, because you see, he's working with his bank, restructuring his own loans, and that doesn't take into consideration anything that he might be able to get through this the PPPL, but we need, you know, hopefully help is on the way, and we hope that they can get this structured in a way that people start seeing the relief that they need.
I mean, does there need to be more support though, and if so, what kind?
I think, you know, if we could get the program going, it should provide the kind of relief that these folks need. But right now, all they've gotten is promises, and that's not turning into paycheck protection.
Does it seem like enough people know about the options for financial help?
And that is true. I think there is a problem with that, and that's what we're trying to do, because there is so much misinformation. So people really don't know where to turn. And so that's why we're trying to make sure that at least that we're giving people good guidance and based on what is available right now. And then, of course, push for what else is needed. And at this point, it is hard to tell because the first plan isn't working very well yet.
We're going to be back after the break to talk more about small business owners in Indiana. And we'll hear the story of two brothers who work, who own a small manufacturing company that started making face shields for healthcare workers. I'm Matt Pelser. We're back with that in 90 seconds. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. Back now to our discussion on small businesses in Indiana and how their owners are coping with the coronavirus pandemic and its wide-reaching impact. We're joined again by Barbara Quant, Indiana's State Director for the National Federation of Independent Business. And as always, we would love to hear your questions and comments. Find us on Facebook and Twitter at All In Indiana, or leave us a short voicemail with your first name and where you're calling from at 866-476-3881. Again, 866-476-3881. Barbara Scott on Twitter writes, I'm a dentist and practice with another dentist in Granger, Indiana, clear up north. And we're essentially shut down now. We're trying to get business continuation funds, PPP program, but everything seems to be dragging its feet. Is this something that you hear a lot?
Yes. I talk to a small business owner every day, and every day without access to this PPL relief means more shuttered businesses and more lost jobs. So they just need to get the funds to the small businesses because, folks like this dentist, they can't stay out of business forever here. Like, there is a point.
What do you think of the way the state administration has responded to this so far in respect to how it's impacted small businesses?
I think the state has really responded very well to this. Hopefully the shutdown is working. And there seems to be some good news on the horizon as far as that's concerned. But I think the state's done what they can during this crisis. I think also the unemployment insurance trust fund, they're struggling because they haven't gotten the guidance that they need from the federal government. So the federal government really needs to get its act together and get, because they promised that this relief would be coming, and our folks are need it now.
Have you talked or worked with state leaders on this?
Oh yes, we've been in touch, and of course they've asked what else small businesses need, and at this point, I guess I can't say it enough. We need the programs to work.
Do you think that they fully understand, though, the scope of the impact that it's having on small business owners?
The state or the federal government?
I would say the state government, and then we can expand it to the federal government.
Yeah, I would. I'm sure they're getting the same kind of reaction that we are. It's frustration from small business owners that need some relief, so that they can survive long enough to get back into business when this is all over.
Kurt on Facebook says, we've been a small business in Indiana for 73 years and have seen a lot of challenges, but this is the most difficult. We'll be here when this is over, but many won't survive. My biggest concern is businesses claiming they're essential businesses and their essential business status when they're clearly not, as defined by the 2008 order. This puts additional pressure on other small businesses to skirt the order to try and stay open. There's no reporting or enforcement for the order. My fear is that all this will do is extend the infection rate and hurt more small businesses in the long run. Have you heard anything else like that?
Not yet, but that doesn't surprise me because I can see why this gentleman would be very frustrated with what's happening.
I want to make sure that we listen to this conversation that I had this morning with two small business owners. Braden Fleece and Chase Fleece are brothers and co-owners of Fleece Performance Engineering in Pittsboro, Indiana. So can you tell us what Fleece Performance Engineering is?
We're an automotive aftermarket parts manufacturer. So Chase and I started started when we were kids, just taking things apart and tinkering and, turned that love of mechanical things and electrical things and turned that into a job. And so when we got our first vehicles, we were
doing everything we could to make them better.
Yeah. Fun. So couldn't leave anything alone. And then we both had diesel pickup trucks as we were growing up on the farm. And then that turned into working on our buddy's truck. And then eventually we started a business, and the evolution of that business went from North Salem in a little garage behind our father's place or pole barn, and then to Brownsburg, and then 25,000 square feet there. And then now we're in 75,000 square feet here in Pittsboro with just under 50 employees.
Just under 50 employees. Have you had to cut hours or lay anybody off?
No, we've been able to maintain our workforce. It's been very difficult. We've had to lean down on lots of things, trying to stretch a dollar as far as we can with the uncertainty of the timing of some of these programs that are coming out.
We do have, I would say, better than half our workforce at home right now.
Oh, there's only about 10 people here.
Yeah, so it's a little skeleton crew that we're keeping the place humming with. But we did that just, obviously keep from getting our workforce sick and with everybody's health in mind.
Who are your clients? How much work is there to do right now?
Well, it's a multifaceted business. So the manufacturing portion of the business is, kind of idled. But we also, from our roots of where we started in the working on vehicles aspect, we have a automotive repair business that specifically diesel trucks. So we've got to keep these trucks and stuff on the road that are helping to deliver product and keep the economy going.
The farmer, the construction worker, the guy that does hot shot hauling campers, stuff like that. That's what our truck shop side of the business, really specializes in. It's keeping those guys on the road. And then just your average Joe that has a diesel pickup truck.
So with a lot of people out of the shop and not working, does that make things a lot busier for those who are there, or has the work slowed down as well?
Well, it's kind of compartmentalized to where, the truck shop guys, that's the mechanics, it's business as usual. The machinists and, design engineers and
warehouse staff,
it's definitely they're at home, or if they are essential, we pulled a few in for recent projects. But yeah, most everybody's just kind of doing yard work.
Do you have a sense for how much of an impact this is going to have on your business long term?
We were on a banner year, actually. Our business is pretty unique, and I think there's a lot of businesses out there that were on a good run. We typically don't have a year. We have not had a year below 30% growth in the 10 years of business, 11, 12 years.
Wow.
This year was on track to be another one of those years. And, maybe this V-shaped recovery they talk about will happen, but again, the uncertainty in the economy right now is there's a lot of people just hanging on to their money, and they don't know if they're going to, they're hesitant on making purchases that may be not necessary. Our performance parts and stuff are still selling, but there's also a lot of problem solver type parts that we make a better mousetrap for a few components that go on an engine that you may be able to go to the dealer and get that part, but it's going to fail again or have the same issue. And we make a part that you buy it once and it may be a little bit more money, or it might even be the same cost, but it fixes that problem for the life of the vehicle. So those kind of staple parts still sell, and we've got a lot of those in distribution, but you know, we're hesitant to, you know, fire the machines back up and get those back in stock. We do see that the distribution chain is tightening up. They're talking about, you know, they're asking for longer terms. They're putting in smaller orders. A couple of them have trimmed down their staff. So, I mean, yeah, the effects are everywhere.
I've heard you making face shields now.
Yeah, that was one of those things. We, like I said, we drew or brought a couple of engineers back in. We do some skunkworks type consulting for, we've done some for big automotive manufacturers and local to us here around Indianapolis and in Indiana. And we enjoy a challenge. So that face shield project, we just grabbed some material, went out to the laser cutter and made a couple of different iterations that, you know, fit well, but didn't require two or three different supply chain or supply streams, two to three different materials. So we decided to make a face shield that is all out of this polyester PET plastic, and the headband is as well. That was kind of a cool project as we did it. And my design engineer, Matt Miller, and I went out to the laser, and within 48 hours, we had designed something, sent samples to Hendricks Regional Health to try out in the clinical environment, see if they worked. They subsequently ordered 600 units, and so we were in business making face shields within 48 hours. Designed, tested, filed for a patent and on this new novel design, and then took orders. And we've since been selling them to the state and all over the country.
Chase, has that filled much of a gap in the business?
Yeah, it's filled in, pretty much picked up right where we left off for the most part. The amount of shields that got made in a week and a half's time, I mean, it's just
about 6,000.
I remember I was at home with my son, and when we released that on Facebook, it just went wild. The amount of personal, like, messages, like, from people I know, range from Missouri, Michigan, Ohio. Before we knew it, we had, you know, orders just flying in. I know Braden's inbox was the same way, and everybody else here. So
we created a custom email group just for it because of the amount of demand. We had 300,000 impressions on Facebook and a couple thousand shares. I mean, it's good. Everybody was sharing it around that we had the ability to help make PPE and get it to people that needed it. And it's kind of disheartening that there are so many hospitals and so many organizations that are lacking that PPE. So,
and I think this just kind of opened our eyes to the fact that we rely on outside sources just way too much for our manufacturing. I hope this really sheds some light, you know, to the American people that we need to be doing our own manufacturing, or, you know, have a path to manufacture our own product and, you know, be competitive in that market. I mean, that goes for everything, masks to automotive parts, to, you know, you name it.
Chase Fleece and Braden Fleece, co-owners of Fleece Performance Engineering in Pittsburgh. Guys, thanks for your time today and good luck.
Hey, thank you.
Barbara, here we have some much-needed good news. We have a successful company that's experienced big, fast growth. They're cautiously optimistic, and they've adapted. They're making face shields. They've sold 6,000 of them so far. What's your reaction to their story?
Oh, this story makes me smile, and there has been much to smile about lately. But Braden and Chase, and this, it really typifies the small business owners can do attitude, and the fact that they can they've pivoted to do something that not only keeps the place running to some extent, but it also does some really good for the health providers in our state, you know, and they're worried about the health of their employees and their families, which is often one and the same, as you can see with I know there are several family members there, and they're worried about their financial health, but they're doing what they can to survive and to also do something good for their community. I'm just really pleased to hear of that, of their success. I hope it keeps coming.
But, I mean, how many small businesses can do things like this where they're not only adapting their business, but they're doing something to help the efforts to stop the pandemic? Not everybody can do it.
Yeah, the sad reality is not everyone can. But there are so many stories like the folks that are making hand sanitizers that were distilleries. I've got one right down the street from me here that's doing exactly that. And they're doing what they can to stay alive, both physically and financially, until things get back to whatever normal is going to be.
Whatever it is. We've got a listener voicemail from Andrew in Indianapolis asking about how the CARES Act will apply to different workers. Let's listen to that.
I have a question. It concerns the CARE Act and the SBA group giveaway for the loan programs to help the payroll. Many payroll recipients would be those in small businesses that include food service that get paid less than minimum wage, say $2.15 an hour or less when they're working. How would that work out? Even with a minimum wage of $7.25, a lot of people made more than that and would be making less by this outside of going on the unemployment, which would benefit them greater than that.
Barbara, your reaction to what Andrew said?
That's another facet that's really tough because we haven't seen it implemented at this point. It'd be interesting to see, because I know the intention is to make these folks whole. There are so many food service workers that are just unable to work, and unemployment hasn't gone into effect for them yet. I know that DWD is working hard to answer that call, but the answers are not easy. And right now, we just need the programs to start working.
We've got just a little over a minute to go, but I want to make sure we get this in. In the survey that you conducted recently, the results show that about a third of small business employers believe that they can remain operational for 3 to 6 months. About half say they can survive for no more than 2 months. Predicting the future at this point might feel crazy, but I imagine you and plenty of small business owners must be thinking about this, though. What happens if this goes on longer than that? Can anything be done?
I think there probably need to be more done than is currently in the pipeline. But at this point, we're hopeful that what's in the pipeline will get relief to those folks, because that'll make a big difference to many of these smallest of businesses. And then if it goes on longer than that, we're all praying that that people stay healthy, and this by social distancing and doing the things that we are trying to take care of one another. I think that hopefully this will not last for longer than 6 months.
Barbara Quandt is Indiana State Director for the National Federation of Independent Business. Barbara, thanks so much for what you do, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Matt.
Our producers are Drew Dodlin and Maggie Galon. Scott Cameron's our managing editor. Adam Gross is our technical director. Our podcast can be found wherever you get podcasts. Join us tomorrow when we'll talk about local media. There are growing concerns that local publications could become victims of the pandemic as well, and its effect on the economy at a time when they're needed more than ever. Find us on Twitter and Facebook at All In Indiana. I'm Matt Pelser. Thanks for listening. This is All In.